on the left side, then maybe that's normal.
Right. Connected sein ist heutzutage alles. Wer sich irgendwie mit Beruf, Musik oder sonst wie außerhalb von seinem oder ihrem Kiez aufstellen will, der muss einfach networken können. Manche strengen sich dafür an und manchen passiert das einfach, beziehungsweise es entspricht ihrem Naturell. Ich habe so eine Ahnung, dass unser heutiger Gast eher in die Kategorie natürliches, intuitives Networken reinfallen könnte, aber das kann ich ihn genauso gut selber fragen. Y ist im Studio, beziehungsweise Frontmann Yoni Wolf. Welcome to the program, Yoni.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, sure. I just pointed out that nowadays it's super important, that's what you hear at least, to be kind of connected, internationally connected, to be able to make a life as an artist or of any kind, basically, you know, that is not just in your neighborhood. So some people learn how to network in these horrible weekend seminars, and some people just do it naturally. Are you a natural because you're super connected?
I've never heard of these weekend seminars, so I suppose if I am connected, I'd do it naturally.
You should give one, probably.
Yeah.
Is that something that you that you have inside yourself, that you always think like, oh, I have to connect with, you know, you're involved with a lot of different music projects, you remix for people, you do really different types of music with everything that you do. Is that, you know, do you get bored with one thing and then you have to go into the do the other, or how does it work?
I think it just happens naturally through social interaction and meeting people. And you know, when you meet a like-minded artist, you know, you tend to say, oh, well, let's try to make something together, you know?
Yeah. Is that only, would you say, on a level with people who have a similar job as you, like other musicians or people who do labels or promote, or does it also extend to your audience? Do you interact a lot with your audience?
I mean, I think all that. I think, you know, You gravitate towards people that think like you or that you know, have a similar outlook or a similar sense of humor. So I think it's just natural in any form, you know, whether it's working with a label or working with a booking agency or even meeting fans and stuff like that, or, you know, yeah.
But would you say you're, it's a horrible word too, approachable?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I can be an asshole sometimes, maybe, but I try to be.
When is Yoni an asshole?
Just when I'm tired or not feeling well, maybe, you know. But mostly, I think I'm approachable, yeah.
Are you one of those people? I am one of those people, so I'm kind of like trying to find out if we're on the same page here. If I'm, like, as you said, if I'm, you know, stressed out, if I'm tired and people come to me and I'm a little bit like, I don't want to talk to you, I have to be really careful because I can be really mean.
Yes, that's me as well.
Where do you think that energy comes from?
It's the dark center of the young me, you know, like I'm working on disseminating, you know, and getting rid of that energy. But, yeah, I think it's been there since birth for me. I don't know about you. Something might have happened to you. I don't know.
Well, this might be go too far now for this little bit.
Let's
be more
about your childhood.
But it's interesting that you see the origin of this in your youth.
I did, ever since I was a little kid, I remember, yeah, having that some kind of darkness. But you know, working to shed it.
Yeah, yeah. I had these fits when I was a kid. When something didn't go according to plan, I would kind of like, and then I would hold my breath. Yeah. I would turn blue.
Oh,
then I would
God.
Fall over. My mom would see that from the kitchen, run down, and she'd, oh no, Tom, you will. Whatever, you know, and then I would wake up again.
Was it for attention, you think?
I don't know. No, I think it was something that came natural in some weird way.
Like a panic attack almost?
I didn't. Yeah, something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It has reappeared sometimes in the end of my adolescence.
Yeah.
But then it was gone.
Wow.
Weird, no?
I still have panic attacks every once in a while, but it's usually when I'm on way too much pot. And then the heart palpitates too fast, and things start to go blurry.
What do you do in these moments? Because I had some of those experiences too.
You just have to try to breathe and like, because I've tried to like I've been really really high and then tried to meditate.
Yeah,
and sometimes that can go south because like you'll start thinking too deeply,
exactly,
and start like, you know, thinking about the size of the universe and, you know, the bigness and the smallness of everything.
That's not a good way to go.
It can get scary. And then what I will do is like, okay, you know, I'm just gonna settle down and like watch old episodes of Cheers or something. You know what I mean? It's like just or Seinfeld or something, you know, something that's just light and can get your mind off of what things really are.
That's you know? Actually better than my strategy.
What's
in these
your strategy?
Chain smoking.
Okay.
I mean, cigarettes. I mean, if you're too hot.
You just go,
no,
go straight
I'm
into,
overthinking never masturbating.
Never smoke a lot of weed or be on, never be on a psychedelic drug and try to masturbate. Bad news. Bad news. But chain smoking also bad.
Yeah, also very, very bad. Ihr kriegt hier auf jeden Fall Tipps von uns, wie man mit Panikattacken umgehen sollte. Also Joni sagt, man guckt sich einfach ein paar alte Sitcoms an, das holt ihn immer wieder runter. Oder das holt ihn runter. Dann oder er versucht auch zu meditieren, aber da muss man vorsichtig sein, wenn man so ins Universum geht oder wie groß irgendwie alles ist, kann gefährlich werden. Ich habe es früher mit Kettenrauchen probiert, aber Joni sagt, das ist auch keine gute Idee, weil auch ungesund. I have a beautiful quote of yours that's connected to your last album, I think, that you said you get waterlogged and you use working on music to ring out.
Wow, I don't remember that quote, but I like it.
I think it was for Vice, Noisy, something like this.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you still relate to that? Or did they make it up because they thought like, oh, he's not saying anything cool in the interview. Let's put that in.
No, I think I can definitely relate to that. I if I said it, I'm glad I said it. I do like that. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it true that like on your new album, it's called Moline, do you have a kind of therapeutic approach to writing music? Say that?
You know, it sounds bad to say that, but I think
it sounds horrible. But
I think that in some ways, yeah, it's true. Probably. There is that buildup of tension and. I guess it's tension in the not knowing of, you know, what's going on, you know, on a grander scale and stuff like that. And I think just, you know, writing about it definitely is a bit therapeutic, you
Maybe
know.
Maybe catharsis is
cathartic,
a better word.
Cathartic, yeah. Therapeutic, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the end, when you have this album, you kind of have the end of these results of that process, right? So is it weird to sometimes perform the results of that process over and over? Because they probably change, no?
These are great questions. I think that...
That usually means you don't know the answer.
I don't exactly know the answer, but I learn a lot from the results.
Yeah.
So I don't know that much about myself or my connections to the universe and everything. You know, in the moment, it's very hard for me to connect and feel. But, you know, music for me has been a way to sort of chronicle that posthumously. I mean, when I say posthumous, I mean the dead songs. You know, once the song is done, I am sort of able to understand what's going on with me a little more what has been in that period. And then I don't understand for a long time. And then I write some more songs and then I finish an album and then I listen to that. And so I say, okay, well, that's what's been going on with me for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get to faster and to a point where I can actually know what's going on in the moment.
Right. So it's not over when the song is done. It's also part of this process to perform it over and over and over. It doesn't
Absolutely.
Trivialize the experience.
No, I think there's something to that. And I think, you know, with this new album, you know, it's I would say it's a lot more sort of glass half full, more positive thinking
cool.
than previous stuff that I've done. And so playing it live, you know, ends up giving me a lot more good energy. You know, sometimes, you know, when I go out and perform, you know, like a darker song from previous albums, like an older song, it can leave a dark energy, you know, around me, conjuring the spirits of that song every single night, you know?
Right.
So it's nice transitioning into an album where it leaves a positive energy around, you know, singing it night after night. So, yeah.
Let's listen to some music. We've been talking for a long time, I think.
Hell yeah.
I have a song here that I really, really like from your album. It's called One Mississippi.
Okay.
Do you like to talk about your songs or would you just like to play it? Or is there something that people should know before it or should we talk about it after? If
you have a question about it, you could ask about it. But yeah, I think we should just listen
to
it.
Yeah, let's just listen to it. Let's do that. And we're back with Joni after that one.
All right, I'm used to like podcasts where we just talk and talk.
So this wasn't long for you at all that we were talking for nine minutes now.
No, I, you know, it's a I have a podcast, so it's a different format. So I'm like used to talking for an hour. So
Considering what we talked about before, we're talking about podcasts. Yes. One Mississippi new music from Y or from Yoni, as I could also say, from the new album or the current album Moline. Music like this comes, as you said before, from a very personal place. It has to do with personal experiences. You try to do a glass half full album. Also er versucht ein Album zu machen oder hat ein Album gemacht, wo ein bisschen so ein Spirit von das Glas ist halb voll mit. I always have the impression you are talking about something completely different, not how you songwrite, but the physical approach to your recording. I have the impression you're a material nerd. You record on tape, don't you?
Well,
you like to, at least.
Yes, I do like to, and all previous Y albums have been recorded on tape, on 2-inch tape, you know, big tape. This album, about half of it was recorded on small tape, on quarter-inch tape, and about half of it was recorded on computers. And, you know, it sort of mixed up, you know. But yes, I love recording on tape, yeah.
Is that something easy to come by, or do you have to raid flea markets around the world sometimes for things?
Well, I had to get the machine that I have, the quarter-inch machine that I have, which is a Tascam 388, I had to go drive about 3 hours south into weird Kentucky, like, and... Yeah, goodbye off this guy that I met on Craigslist.
Tell me about that guy. It sounds like a great story.
You know, he was fine. Just a random dude in a random house in the middle of nowhere. And it seemed like he was just some old rocker, you know, some like heavy metal guy that, you know, recorded on this thing and then was getting out of that hobby. And you know, I mean, he was a hobbyist, so he had a room for that machine, you know.
He didn't have a band or something like that.
I don't think there were enough people anywhere near him to form a band.
Okay.
I think he was the band.
Okay, but was he sad to let it go? Was it like letting go an old friend, or was he shedding some part of his personality where he thought like, oh no, I wasted too much time with that one?
It was his baby. He was not excited to let it go, but he felt like, I think he needed the money, yeah.
Right, is he allowed to visit it sometimes?
Hell no. He ain't coming anywhere near my house. No, he was fine. He was a chill guy.
Right, okay. Journalists, like me, others, they like to ask questions like, which I hate. I hate that question. What do you prefer, playing in front of a large audience or a small audience? And people always say like, well, a large audience, you get a lot of reaction from the crowd, but in a small audience, you're closer to the people. Blah.
Exactly.
since I know that you always kind of know the place where you're playing, at least in the U.S., I always have the impression when, you know, local newspapers, they write something about you or interview you, you know where you are. What's the advantage of playing in front of a, let's say, a more hipster crowd as opposed to a crowd that is not that hipster, is a small town, doesn't know anything about you or people, bands like you?
Yeah, well, that's a better question, I guess.
That wasn't hard, though.
It's more nuanced. Yeah.
Right.
I think that, yes, our large city crowds tend to be fairly hipster and pretty knowledgeable about our music and stuff like that. So, you know, they'll sing along and whatnot, and it makes it easy, I guess, for the show. It's kind of cool to go. Like, we just played a few small town festivals, one French one and a couple German ones, and you know, where you know you're playing and you know that none of those people have ever heard anything like this, you know. So there's something appealing about that, too, where you see, like, the blankness in the faces and you know that, like, they're hearing something that, you know, one out of 20 of the people there are going to be like, oh, I like this. This is interesting, you know, and they're going to maybe investigate and buy your CD and you know, be hopefully a new listener and – you know, the 19 out of 20 of the people are going to say, what the fuck was that?
Do you like that too, though?
Sort of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you critical of hipster culture and what's being labeled like as gentrification, or do you see it as a positive thing in some places?
I mean, I guess you have to define that. I don't really know exactly what that means.
I think people usually mean like national or international expat kind of people who... take the city as their own, although they've never lived there.
That's a very Berlin definition, though, because
well,
that's how
I
it is
come
here.
From Yoni,
but that no, for sure, for sure.
I'm sorry, I have to...
but that's definitely what it is here in
right,
Berlin.
Right.
I personally like that here because I'm one of them. You know, mm-hmm. I'm one of the outsiders that comes in and. You know, just last night I was walking my girlfriend around Prenzlauer Berg and showing her all the places that I used to hang out. You know what I mean? Whatever.
Right.
So I'm one of them. So I have to be on that side. You know, sure. Yes. Good.
Well, great answer. You have, as I said at the beginning, you have like 5 different projects. You remix, you tour, you do video art even. No? And I also at the beginning, I mentioned how connected you are and everything. Are you a person who can actually sit still?
Oh, I love to sit still. Yes, I like, you mentioned earlier.
Like off, switch off.
Yes, you mentioned earlier off, Mike, how, you know, you've been traveling around a lot.
Yes.
You're excited to just get home and lay in bed and watch series.
Yes.
Series is, I don't know how you say that, but yes, I feel the same way. I've been traveling a ton. I can't wait to get home, sit on the couch and watch, you know, the new season of Twin Peaks or.
I'm watching it already.
Yeah.
Are you too?
No, don't tell me anything. when I get home, I will.
Age. No, it's great. It's great. That's good. All I can say. Good. Maybe you will hate it because it's easily hateable. This is what I like about it.
I'll love it.
Yeah, right. So you get back to the U.S. When can you sit still? When can you watch Twin Peaks?
In like 3 days.
Yeah. Wir sind gerade also in den letzten Zügen von der Tour von Y. Also Yoni und die Band spielt heute Abend im Festsaal Kreuzberg neben der Arena Treptow Badeschiff, da ihr kennt, wo es ist. Und wir haben 2x2 Festkarten. Wir haben 2x2 Freikarten für euch heute Abend Y im Festsaal Kreuzberg. Ruft uns an 030 2000 9000. Nee, 9000 2000? 2000 9000? Oh Gott.
I'm not sure. The new one. It, where White Trash used to be.
I know. I'm thinking about the number of the station.
Oh, the station, sorry.
Yeah, I always keep forgetting it. Is it 2000, 9000? Should I run out and... Ich sag's vielleicht hinterher nochmal. Wir machen's nicht jetzt. Wir hören noch eine Musik von Y und dann sage ich euch die Nummer und vorher gilt es nicht anzurufen. I'm finding out what the number is. I always keep forgetting. I hate numbers. And then I will tell them afterwards what the number is, after the next song we hear from you. And then they will only be able to call in and get those tickets. This is something that doesn't really concern
you.
But
yeah,
the phone
you,
number.
Gotcha,
right,
gotcha,
right.
Gotcha.
Why, Yoni, it was really great that you were here.
Oh, thank you so much for having
me.
I always love being here.
Have a lot of fun tonight at Festsaal Kreuzberg.
Thank you.
Have a good journey back home and enjoy sitting still.
Thank you very much, man.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.